Let's bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, the passage that you've been starting to study and the passage that Jack asked me to preach on, we have to remember that the person who wrote this passage was an eyewitness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that John, who wrote this letter and the passage which we're going to take a look at, also experienced the day of Pentecost. And he would go on to write the Gospel of John, the book of Revelation, and 2 John. So John has a significant influence in who we are and who we are to become in the gifting that he was given by the Holy Spirit to write. Now, in this letter, John has decided to take on the insidious propaganda of the Gnostics, a heresy that was taking place in the church. And John, in this letter, has decided to take on false prophets, deceivers, and antichrists, those who would deny the divine human person of Jesus Christ, that combination, and that they would deny Jesus as the Son of God. Now, this heresy was taking place in the churches that John had planted. And these would be seen in what we would call Western Turkey. The heresy was also very libertine in throwing off all moral restraint and especially sexual restraint. John, in writing this letter, does not mean to give his readers the impression that he thinks that they are living in total overwhelming darkness or that he doubts the reality of their Christian faith, but he wants them to walk in the pure light. And that's the first part of the Voice translation, talks about the pure light. Now, in today's passage, which we're going to just take a look at, John moves to tell his readers of his view of their Christian standing. So we'll have the first slide. And this is the passage that Jack asked me to take a look at. I'm writing to you, my children. He refers to the members of the congregation as children, fathers and parents, and young people. So I'm writing to you, my children, because your sins have been forgiven by the authority of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers and mothers, because you have known him as the Creator, as the one who started everything. I'm writing to you, young people, because he has given you the power to conquer the evil one. Next slide. I'm writing to you, my children, because you have known the Father. I'm writing to you, fathers and mothers, because you know him as the Creator. I have written to you, young people, because the voice of God remains and is heard among you. Remember that you have conquered the evil. And it continues. Don't fall in love with this corrupt world or worship the things it can offer. Those who love its corrupt ways don't have the Father's love living within them. All the things of the world can offer you, the allure of pleasure, the passion to have things, and the pompous sense of superiority, do not come from the Father. These are rotten fruit of this world. And it continues. This corrupt world is already wasting away, as are its selfish desires. But the person really doing God's will, that will never cease to be. We too need to hear these words in our dark world, a world of ever increasing fear. Listen to the news lately. Sounds like the stock market's going up. Anybody got mutual funds? Left? After 2008? I thought I would retire comfortably. Boy, that was a surprise. Is Israel going to attack Iran? Is Korea going to create missiles that are going to reach North America? Oh, by the way, did you hear all the health news? Influenza's ravishing North America. Fear, fear, fear. We live in a world of fear. Now, John writes with the assurance that he sees his congregation as genuine Christians. He's trying to shake up this little group of people in these different churches throughout Asia Minor. He's saying, you are genuine Christians. You live under what is called the New Covenant. And we too live under this New Covenant. And he says, well, you need to enjoy, relish, and delight in your forgiveness. You need to enjoy, relish, and delight in your knowledge of God. You need to enjoy and relish and delight in the power that God has given you to overcome evil. Now, John wants his readers and us today to recognize the fulfillment of the prophecy offered in Jeremiah. Now, one of the things you have to understand, that the Jewish people and the Hebrew people, when somebody would quote a particular line of Scripture, they would immediately go, aha, there's a connection back here to the Old Testament. Or there's a connection to the Psalms. So when Jesus would quote things and say things from the Old Testament, people would be drawn back to what the prophets would say or what the psalmist would say. Now, as John was speaking, he was talking about the young people, the fathers and mothers of the faith, the children of the faith. And he was talking about this change of their mind. He was talking about their understanding of an intimate relationship with God. So what is this trigger? Jeremiah 31. Where Jeremiah says, this is the kind of a new covenant I, God, will make with the people of Israel when those days are over. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will people have to teach each other or encourage their family members and say, you must know the Lord. For all of them will know me intimately themselves. For the least to the greatest of society. I will be merciful when they fail and forgive their wrongs. I will never call to mind or mention their sins again. These are the words from Jeremiah, which have been fulfilled with Christ and have been fulfilled with our acceptance of Christ as the Son of God, where we change inside. Now, with the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, coupled with the day of Pentecost and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we too are invited to live under a new covenant with God, in a personal relationship with Him, and to walk in every step with God throughout our lives. We too are invited to walk in the pure light, as mentioned in the first verse of this letter, and with the manifestations of life-giving voice, which other translations call the word of life. Translation, we are invited to walk in the presence of God with Jesus Christ. Now, John recognizes three different groups in his congregations. He talks to them about the little children. Now, who do you think the little children are? They're new born Christians, newcomers to the faith. And the young people? Well, they're the developing Christians. They're the working Christians who are strong in their faith. They're claiming victories in spiritual warfare. And we could call them the active learners and doers. And then he makes reference to these fathers and mothers. Well, these are the seasoned saints who have deep and mature faith. And I invite you to take a look at the handout you have in your bulletin. The little children. The newcomers who recognize that they are now truly children of God. On their confession of Christ as Savior, they become and know that they are the children of God. Their sins have been forgiven, and they recognize their salvation are filled with joy. You've seen those new Christians around, don't you? They're almost embarrassing. Oh, I'm at a Baptist church. Oh yeah, they are embarrassing. Christ is their advocate. They have come to know God through Jesus Christ as Abba, Father. They've come to know God in that personal way. Now, the active learners and doers, who are more developed Christians than the new ones, are strong and vigorous. They're busily involving in the day-to-day struggle of Christian living. And then with the prayer requests here, day-to-day struggle of Christian living. They're growing by a process of sanctification. And I was warned not to use that word. Well, it means living out your faith day in and day out and growing stronger and stronger, even with the troubles. It's reading, studying, and knowing the Scriptures. It's seeking to conform their lives to Christ's way. That's what the active learners and doers are. Now, the seasoned saints. There's a few here that I know. These are the true elders and mature members of a congregation. Time has passed since the first flush of ecstasy or joy in receiving forgiveness and fellowship with the Father. They hold their salvation near and dear. Past are many of the day-to-day battles of Christian living. They have progressed to a deep communion with God, and they know God over, the knowledge of God has ripened over time. Newcomers know God as Abba, Father. The mature, seasoned saints know God as the creator of all things, who was there in the beginning and is the possessor of eternity, which is everlasting. Seasoned saints consciously live as participants in eternity here and now. They live with eternity here and now. It's not a ticket in a confession of Christ. It's living the kingdom of God now. The message is that we too live in a time of false prophets, deceivers, and antichrists. In fact, I was a little jealous of the passage that Jack gets to preach on and the passage he gave me. I said, oh, I'd love to rail against the deceivers and the false prophets and the antichrists. But you give me all the good stuff, the nice stuff, the mellow stuff. Okay, fine. We need to hear John's voice. And we need to hear an adjoining voice from Paul. You've heard this. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, brothers and sisters, draw your strength and might from God. Put on the full armor of God to protect yourselves from the devil and his evil schemes. We're not waging war against enemies of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. It's a dark world. Both John saw it and Paul saw it. We need to recognize the reality of our faith and who we are. We too are made up of newcomers here, active doers and learners, and seasoned saints. Now, I was recently reminded of my conversion and my becoming a newcomer when I met a number of participants in Teen Challenge. You want to get your faith rocked? Just hang out with these people that have gone through hell and have found Christ. They're full of joy, excitement. And it reminded me of the time when I was one of those whoopee Christians. And it reminded me that there is joy here. There is excitement. Recently, I was reminded also of my growth as an active learner and doer. I met Brian McConaughey from Ratnack International. He rescues children from pedophiles in Cambodia. It's something that just blew my mind. But God and the Holy Spirit has led him into the heart of darkness. And he has planted himself right next door to the pedophile brothels. and the Vietnamese mafia has allowed him to buy a building and minister there, and has over 350 children a day in a vacation Bible school. The movement of the Holy Spirit brought him there and put him into the heart of darkness. Now, my ministry is nothing compared to that. But I recognize that God is active and He is doing good things. Again, I was recently reminded of my becoming a seasoned saint. And I said, becoming a seasoned saint. I had to attend a viewing at Springfield Funeral Home recently. And I was asked to do a graveside service for this individual. And she was an old congregant of mine. Sherry and I went up to the casket. And one of the sons whispered to me, "Do you recognize the wedding dress she's wearing?" This lady was 97 years of age. Her father was the last Presbyterian minister at what we now call the Ben Bolin Church. She lived her life as a saint. And she was wearing a wedding dress, her wedding dress, in preparation of meeting Christ. The bride of Christ was going to the groom. We need to recognize the reality of our faith and who we are. Now, John gives us some encouraging words about who makes up this church of newcomers, active learners and doers. And he calls them children, fathers and mothers and what have you. But then he goes on to describe a world in which there is darkness. And he sets out some instruction of what our attitude should be towards it. He moved from affirmation about being Christians to warnings about how we are to best behave in this corrupt world. Now, even as Christians who have come into inheritance of kingdom living, where we have the forgiveness of sins, we have fellowship in a personal relationship with God, and we have power that's been given to us to overcome the world, unfortunately, temptations have not come to an end. We live in the kingdom, but temptation has not ended. When John referred to the corrupt world, he is referring to the life of human society organized under the power of evil. Now, John's commandment not to love the corrupt world is grounded on two arguments. The incompatibility of loving the world with loving our Heavenly Father. They're incompatible. Also, the second argument is the transience, the brevity, the shortness, and the fleetness of the world is in complete contrast with the eternity and perpetuity of Christ, who does God's will and is calling us to do God's will. Now, as Christians, we all know the two greatest commandments: to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor. If a person is engrossed in the outlook and pursuits of the world, which rejects Christ, it is evident that they have no love for the Father. This is what John is saying. James goes on in his book and writes that friendship of the corrupt world is enmity, hatred, ill will towards God. And even if you go back into Jesus' words in Matthew and Luke, where he says, no person can serve two masters. It's God or mammon. Now, in this passage today, John makes special reference to the allure of pleasure, lust of the flesh, to the passion to have things, the lust of the eyes, and that pompous sense of superiority, the pride of life. All of these clash with our love of God and with our love of neighbor. The allure of pleasure, the lust of flesh, reveals the inner desires of our fallen and sinful nature. Me, 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 in the extreme use of gambling, alcohol and drug, and the use of pornography, all these things are morally corrupting and also when consuming a person, exclude that person from God and their neighbor. The passion to have things, the lust of the eye, describes how we are tempted by the outer show of things without inquiring to their real value. Mine, 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 mine. All is mine. The acquisition of property, the acquisition of people, the acquisition of place, possessions, and prominence through power, greed, and selfishness, no matter what the cost, destroys our relationship with our neighbor and with our God. Now, this prominence of superiority, or pompous sense of superiority, the pride of life, is where arrogance and vanity uses wealth, rank, and dress to outshine others. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Rampant narcissism results in no one being blessed. No one, not even the person that says, look at me, because you would reject that. One scholar has called these the essential characteristics of the pagan way of life. Another scholar calls them the trinity of evil. The lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In John's description of our uniqueness as Christians, remember, your uniqueness as Christians is as a newcomer, as an active doer, or as a seasoned saint. Coupling that with the knowledge that we have been chosen out of the world. God has chosen you. We need to recognize that we are no longer belonging to the world, but we belong to the new kingdom of a heavenly world. Here and now. And that's where the seasoned saints come in. For the longest while, we've been told, confess in Jesus Christ and you go to heaven. True. Confess in Jesus Christ and live in heaven now is what the gospel is really about. Our attitude to the world is to live in it without being of it. John had recorded earlier in his gospel writing in John 17, go and check this out, that Jesus has sent us into the world to overcome the world by faith in him as the Son of God. We have been sent back into the world to overcome the world by faith in him as the Son of God. And that's the heresy. To say that he's not the Son of God is heretical. And John's point is that you're sent into the world to overcome the world by having faith in him who is the Son of God. Now the question is, how do we do this? It's quite simple. How do we go about living in the world without being of it? And to overcome it? How do we do this? The simplest answer, and the honest answer that any preacher can give, any pastor can give, is listen and do what Jesus says. Listen and do what Jesus says. And we have a slide. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Matthew 13, 33. And Jesus told a fourth parable. Jesus saying these words. Imagine a woman preparing a loaf of bread. The kingdom of heaven is like the leaven. She folds into her dough. She kneads and kneads until the leaven is worked into the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. We're going to turn. Now, good yeast. You've seen these in the grocery stores. And there are a few men that know how to use them. Good yeast on that handout. You can write this down. Are newcomers. right here. Newcomers who recognize their salvation and are filled with joy. Then we have active learners, growing by a process of sanctification. And then we have the seasoned saints, who consciously live as participants in eternity here and now. To live in the world and not of it is truly to live as newcomers, as active learners and doers, and as seasoned saints. Joyful with our connection with God, growing in our faith, and living purposefully. Those are the three aspects of the yeast. My sermon is to help you recognize that you are yeast. My sermon was intended to help you recognize that John, the eyewitness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is so impressed with you that he calls you children. He calls you young, active people. He calls you fathers and mothers of the faith. And he says, I want you to be in the world and not of it. And he goes on in the beginning of this passage to tell you how wonderful you are, and that you can live in a dark world and not be swallowed up by the lust of flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, that you can overcome the world by looking to see what Jesus has already given you. And what has he given you? Joy of salvation. And if you're a little short on that, go see somebody from Freedom's Door or Teen Challenge or Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous that's got the message. They're embarrassing to be around. They're wonderful. How about growing in your faith? How about being purposeful in your living as saints? Now, I've got you to recognize that you're yeast, hopefully. But there's something else I want you to figure out. What elements do you need to act as a starter in your life to bring about a budding action? You see, for yeast to work, it needs sugar and a little warm water for the budding action to take place. What do you need? And what are you going to do about it? Are you needing to learn to pray? Do you need to walk out here and pick up a devotional book? Do you need to join a Bible study? Do you need to join a cell group or a life group or a small group? Do you need to seek counseling and healing? What are the elements in your life that you need to add to who you are so that you can become budding? And there's the third point. I never thought I'd do three-point sermons. My invitation is also to have you recognize that the bowl of dough that you're stuck in is where you need to take some budding action. You see, a newcomer can change everyone they come into contact with that joy. An active learner and doer can also change people around them by learning and sharing and doing. And the seasoned saints, they can change those around them by sharing how to live in eternity today in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, you brought John into the world to share the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you have brought us here to be reminded of the power of your Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless us with your very presence. You would help us to remember who we are. And Lord, you are then going to bring your Spirit upon us so that budding action might take place and that we would feel confident and assured of living a kingdom life in this world today. Amen.